This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I've gotten over Easter and all the festivities.
And all the chocolate. You finally came down off the sugar crazy.
Yes, the sugar high.
Yeah.
I mean, we had lots of chocolate bunnies this year.
Mm.
And those bunnies are huge. And you should not attack one of those by yourself. You need to, you know, share those chocolate bunnies. They're too big. They're wonderful, but they are big this year.
Yeah.
So I recommend that. I think we finally got all the chocolate eaten. Everybody would divide up, and I would say, how about those little chocolate eggs there? I believe I'd like one. And the children would give them to me.
Oh, wow.
They share very good. I love that about them. You know, they didn't mind sharing.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And each one had a basket full of candy after the day. And we took pictures with the Easter Bunny. You know, we've always done that. And, they went back 2 or 3 years there. And every year I had on the same suit. So they threatened me this year that I better not wear the same suit. I guess I liked it a lot or I wouldn't have wore it. But I didn't realize every time we had our picture taken with the Easter Bunny, I had on the same suit.
That wasn't intentional, right? It just happened to be that way.
It was not intentional. I didn't even think about it. I just happened to like it, so I wore it.
And they threatened you this year that if you do the same thing, you're out.
You're out. No pictures for you.
Wow.
You know? But anyway, it was a great Easter weekend. There was so many thousands and thousands at church.
Mm.
It was a little scary.
Yeah.
You know, I could see them coming down the stairs, and it was just looked to me like thousands coming down the stairs.
Wow. That's huge.
Yes, it was. And I think Prestonwood had, I don't want to tell a story, but I thought they said 17 services.
Really?
I know there was a lot. They had them on Saturday as well as Sunday.
Wow, so 17 between 2 days.
Yes, and there was lots and lots of people there.
Wow, that's,
yes.
Now that's, I mean, I've heard of, you know, 3, 4, but 17? Holy smokes.
Because, see, it was all day Saturday, then all day Sunday, and I think the first service started at either 8 or 9, and then it was like every 2 hours.
Wow.
And I went at 11.
Golly.
Yeah, and they'd already had a lot of services the time I went. And there was so many there. At a certain point, all the ones that were going to settle on the first floor, they stopped people from coming in that way and said, if you don't already have a seat on the first floor, you have to go to all the balconies.
Oh, wow.
And they have two balconies. A second floor and a third floor balcony.
So it was packed.
It was packed.
Wow.
And there was people still coming in after the services started, and they had to come to the third floor. And that's where I was.
Wow. I can't even imagine. 17 services and they're still packed like that.
They were still packed.
Wow.
You would think there would be some services that wouldn't have as many people. But
yeah,
that's not true. They were absolute. And I noticed in our little paper out here, all the churches advertised how many services there would be for Easter.
Really?
Yes. All of them had like a quarter page or half a page, detailing all the services for Easter. So everybody put on extra services, you know, for Easter. So I don't know how many people live out here. You know, we've always said there wasn't but 2,000, but we know now there's 4,000. So there's probably a lot more than that. But all the churches advertised how many services they were having.
Wow. Do you think the fact that they were having so many services drew people out because they realized there's more opportunity? Or did they bring them?
I think so.
Wow.
And a lot of people are new out here. They're building all these subdivisions. Mm. So it gave the new people in the area a place to go for services.
Wow.
You know, that they might not belong to any church, and they were wanting to go to Easter service so they could look in the paper and say, okay, we'll pick this church or we'll pick that one.
Wow, that's fantastic, though. I mean, I know it's a lot of people, and I know it's big crowds, but it is great that people got out and were a part of Easter weekend service, whether it's Saturday or Sunday. So is that your first time being out in crowds, big, like major crowds in a while, or have you been out?
Yes, it is, yes. Because after the virus came, you know, everybody said, do not go out in crowds. So I stopped altogether. I didn't go anywhere because they said even with a mask, you shouldn't be in a crowd, you know, where there's a lot of people. And so, you know, I didn't take the shots. And so I was very careful all this time about going out in large crowds.
Wow.
I made up my mind I wasn't going to take it.
Yeah.
So I had to really be careful, you know. Don't go around anybody that you think is sick in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Don't put yourself in a dangerous situation.
Yes. And I talked to several doctors, and some of them said do what I did, and then some said, you know, they were going to take the shots.
Huh.
But, you know, I've read so many stories of people that took the shots, and they have long-lasting effects on it. So I was a little worried about that.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. But at least you got to go, which was great. And it was a great service, I assume. And everybody was all in their Easter best.
Yes, they were. And yeah. I looked at every woman to see what they had on.
And hopefully...
Well, you know, you always want to see, you know, what they bought, you know, what kind of a suit they've got on and all this, or what kind of pretty dresses. And then all the little children. That's the best part of all, is seeing the little kids dressed up. The little boys have got their ties on, their suits. The little girls have got, you know, these beautiful little dresses and bows in their hair. And so, you know, I think it's great that people do come to church all the time, but especially on Easter. So anyway, and then the start of the week, I've had several clients call about the annuities.
Really?
You know, we talked about those, you know, the other day. And I've had several people call. I've done several annuities for people. And I think I'm going to do a couple more this week. And people called to ask me questions about it. They had a few questions, not many. Most of them just said, I want to do it. But I thought that was really great that they're participating in that. Because, as you know, on that annuity, they get 9% bonus. This is a bonus every time they put money in for the next 7 years.
Cool.
So it could amount to quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
And that's in addition to what the annuity makes. This is just a bonus on top of whatever they're going to make. And I think the one thing I forgot to tell everybody is remember, as long as your money's in the annuity, whatever you make, you do not pay taxes on it until you take it out.
Mm, yeah, that's a good point.
As interest builds up inside your annuity, you're not paying taxes on it. So until you start taking it out, it is not taxable, and therefore it grows quicker because it's tax deferred.
Yeah, I don't think
so. If you've got tax deferred money, it'll grow faster than taxable money.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've really we've even gotten into that. I don't even think we mentioned it, but that is a good point. So it is worth noting. Wow. Well, that's fantastic, and it's great to know that the bonus is still going on. And they haven't announced when it ends?
I think it's the end of the month.
Okay.
I think it's the end of April, because I know I got another note from them and said, you know, that it was just temporary, which I understood that. But I think 9% on whatever you put in for 7 years, and it's only a 10-year annuity. So whatever it makes every year, then you add that bonus on for additional money, it's pretty good money.
Yeah.
You know, it's a guarantee that that you won't get anywhere else except in this annuity.
I don't recall ever hearing of just bonuses thrown in like that with annuities. Is this just like a one-time thing, or does this happen from time to time?
No, it happens every once in a while, but we haven't had any bonuses offered to us in a long time. So when this came out, I said, this is great. You know, people can put $100,000, $500,000. We had some people that put a lot more than that in. But, you know, you think about $9,000 on every $100.
Wow.
So that's pretty good money.
Yeah.
So whatever you put in, as I said, you can put in money every year. You get that additional bonus every year for 7 years. And so I would be adding to it every year. And I have one client that just put money in, and he's going to add to it every month. So every month he's going to get a bonus added to his annuity.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And people may not know that you can put it in monthly. After you put your lump sum in, you can add monthly or quarterly or annually, any way you want to. So if a person is trying to build up retirement out of their paychecks or wherever, you know, you can add that money every month to it.
Well,
so that gives you the bonus in addition to what it makes.
Do people normally do that? And if not, what is the advantage of adding monthly?
Well, it depends. If you're a salaried employee, you might want to do it. You know, if your money comes in monthly, you would naturally want to put money in monthly. Most of our people have their money in lump sums. So most people come to me and say, okay, I'll put $100,000 or $500,000 or $300,000 in. And then as things come due, like, see, if they have CDs coming due, if they have other money coming due, then they just add it to their annuity.
Hmm.
You know, lump sums. But most people don't have it monthly. So it's unusual for a person to say, you know, I can do it monthly, which is fine.
Yeah, because it seems like I don't know that we've really explored that very often. It's usually, you know, I think we always talk about it as the annuity, you set it and forget it. You just put it in, and then you walk away, and when it's up, and you get paid and all that. I've never really, I don't think we've gone into the monthly option at all. I guess I didn't even realize that it was a thing, that you could.
Yes, you could. It's just that most people don't. But this is the first time I've had someone a long time say, can I, you know, keep adding to it? Yes. It's not one of these annuities that you put money in one time and can't put any more money in. You know, this is an annuity. It's a fixed annuity, and it depends on how you want to add to it. You can also, after that first year, let's say you retired and you've put a lot of money in your annuity, you can start taking out the next year. You have to wait 1 year before you can start, you know, taking 10% out. But a lot of people do after they retire, especially widows. I have a lot of people that were married at the time we did the annuity. Their husband passed away. So now they have that comfort every month, every year. They can take 10% a year, and they can take it monthly or quarterly or annually.
Hmm.
So I have a lot of widows now that are taking that 10% every year.
Was it... And I don't even know if this is even a thing or not, but was it set up for that, for in case something happened to the husband, so that the widow or the, I guess, the wife at the time would be set up and taken care of? I assume that's why it was set up.
Yes, and it's set up a joint account if it's husband and wife, where either one can access it.
Oh, okay.
So if the husband passes away, it automatically goes to the wife, and then she can access it as she sees fit.
Okay. And then there's other people that will set up annuities for, like, college education, things like that, right? Like, specifically.
And I've got several that have set up. They have one child that they cannot trust with money. And these are grown children. And they said, Faye, I do not want them to be able to get their hands on my estate because they would all be gone in no time. So they said, we're going to leave them out of that part of the estate, and we'll just give them an annuity. Hmm. And the annuity will be just for them with restrictions on it.
Like,
and I've got several people that have done this that didn't want them in the regular part of the estate because they know what they would do with the money. It'd all be gone.
Yeah.
And so they've restricted them out of the full estate over to an annuity.
Hmm. So
and,
this is...
they'll have enough to live on out of the annuity, but they won't be able to get to the other money.
So it's almost like they set up the annuity as kind of like a side, not a revenue stream, but a side resource, and that keeps them out of the main estate, but they still get something. Do people ever try to, I don't know, contest anything or say I want access to the main estate or anything like that? Or
well, usually if they'll put it all their estate in a trust. If they have everything in a trust, it's going to be hard to sue that trust. Everything is set out pretty straightforward. It's got a lot of restrictions. And it tells them in the trust what they can and cannot do with the estate. So that's always, and once you die, it's set. The trust cannot be changed once you died. You can change it at any time, make any changes you want because you're the owner. But once you die and the trustee takes over, they have to do exactly what you've said.
So it's all carved in stone.
So that's
no
how
changing.
Restrictive it is. Yes.
Okay.
You cannot change a trust after you're dead.
Right.
That's just like when somebody dies, somebody will say, well, I have their power of attorney. I said, no, you don't. You only had it up till they died.
Oh.
Power of attorney is dead after you die. The power of attorney is no good after that.
Oh, wow.
It's only when you're alive.
Those who have called you for, like in the last couple of weeks, I know you've had a lot of calls about annuities. So for those who have called you, are those people who maybe usually are in life settlements and they want to kind of...
Yes, they are. They're all in life settlements with us.
Mm.
But they've all got some situations they would like to fix, you know, for their children. So that's why they're doing the annuities. And then one of my clients has no children, but he wants to do an annuity, you know, for his family that will be inheriting.
All right.
So, it'll diversify. Lots of times people are, they think they need to diversify even more than they already are. So if you want to really diversify, you can have some money in annuities that you know that is safe, locked down. You don't have to worry about it. You just, like you said, set it and leave it. Other than putting more money in later, if you want to get this extra bonus. Or you may say, I'll put a lump sum in now and take all my bonus into it now. And then just forget it till I need it.
Are people who are starting annuities, are they, is it the kind of situation, I don't know how to ask this, is it the kind of situation that they're interested because of this bonus, or is
yes.
it because they're realizing, you know, annuities are a really great opportunity, we should look at this even if there wasn't a bonus involved?
I think so, but the bonus is what gets them in. Because if you can get paid your interest all along, but then we add that bonus up front, then that's just gravy on the mashed potatoes, so to speak.
Mm.
You know, that gives you that extra money that you weren't expecting. Annuities are great like they are. If you never got a bonus, they're great. But you add that extra 9% bonus in, it makes it a greater annuity.
Okay.
Because you're going to get paid the regular money. And we don't know what they're going to make yet. But you've got 17 choices. You realize that? Inside the annuity. And remember, it's never directly in the stock market. That's why it's safe. That's why you're not going to lose your premium after you get in it. Your money's always safe. And they lock your interest in once a year. Once a year, the interest is locked in. So the 9% is locked in immediately. And then if you put more in, it's locked in again. And then there's no taxes till you take it out. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, and especially because I know that people are we focus a lot on the life settlement and you know how fantastic it is and how conservative it is and how it has nothing to do with any other global situation, stock market or otherwise. But we haven't always talked very much until recently about the annuities. Do you think that maybe this is an area that people are getting more interested in, and even without the bonus or even after the bonus is done, do you think people will continue to be involved in annuities going forward, do you think?
They will always be involved in annuities. You know, we've been doing annuities for 20 years.
Mm.
And I think they tell me that we've written like 17 million over the years in
Good
annuities.
Lord.
So I'm telling you, annuities are a big thing. They've got that safety factor that everybody's looking for. And if everybody's really looking for safety, the annuity is the number one choice in America.
Mm. I know,
especially if it doesn't have mutual funds in it. You know, it's not a variable annuity like the ones the brokers do. Those have risk in them. They have mutual funds in them, and they're not guaranteed. So your principal is never guaranteed with the ones that have mutual funds in them that the brokers ride. So you have to always know that.
I know that annuities are not new. They've been around for a very long time. Have they changed over the years? You know, like you look at bonds, for example. Bonds are not now what they used to be. Other things, you know, gold is not now what it used to be. Have annuities changed over the years?
They've improved and improved. When I first did annuities, when I was a young lady, they only had fixed annuities, and that meant they would offer you 3% every year, 4%, 5%, whatever it was. That's the best you could get, was a fixed annuity. And that type of fixed annuity, you knew going in how much it was going to make, and that's the way it was. That's just what you got. But then they started changing, and people said, you know, we can do indexes. Well, they brought out indexes. Once indexes came, it was the best thing ever happened because it gave you a chance to make more than a fixed rate. So annuities have stuck with indexes. Then they've improved the indexes. When they started out, I think they on the indexes, they had the S&P and the NASDAQ. That was your two choices. And now you've got like 14, 17 choices. And the way I've done it on these annuities is I put just 10% in each category where Ooh. You're really diversified. I mean, where you're really, really a long diversification. And then you can switch it around every year, see what's making the most money, what's not making very much money, and do it that way. And then, of course, if it makes money, they lock it in every year. If it didn't make money, it would just stay the same. You never lose. It never goes down. Annuity can't go down in value.
You always protect your
principal. So that's why this type of annuity is protected.
Mm. Yeah, and I guess I didn't realize that there were 17. And the other thing that sticks out to me is you always talk about the importance of the D word, diversify. And so to kind of to put 10% in each one, that's really smart. That's brilliant, actually.
Well, it's really diversified that way. And I looked at Midland National the other day to see what the profit had been. And it showed that there was no year when it was zero. So that means it made money every year, made different amounts. And then they sent me a 10-year deal on what it had made in the last 10 years. So it is one of the best annuities out there. profit-wise. It's done a good job. The people that started with me are still with me on annuities. That's what I like.
Are annuities more, to kind of summarize how they work and the return on the investment, is it fair or accurate to say that annuities are kind of like a longer term, you start it and then when it's due, as opposed to like a life settlement, which would be a little bit maybe more aggressive and more interactive? Is that a good way to characterize it, or is that not quite right?
Well, it's long term. It's, you know, it's like 7 years, 10 years. Some people do 14 years. And I only do 10. I figure 10 years, then we can make a decision. Either renew or cash it in, take it all out, do something like that. Or, you know, start taking monthly or annual income from it. So there's so many things you can do with an annuity. And when times get hard in America, that's where people go to. They're going to go to annuities because a lot of people are going to get out of the stock market because, you know, it's so uncertain right now. You know, it goes up, but then it just pancakes. And it's a great risk to people right now. So a lot of people are telling me, I can't afford to lose anymore. I need to put my money in annuities. Hmm. So, you know, this is where they're putting it. And they're putting large amounts in annuities. They're not just putting, you know, a small amount in. They're putting in enough that they can retire and live off their annuities if they wanted to.
Have you noticed a renewal of interest in annuities in the last couple of years, maybe?
Well, we've always had a pretty good interest in them. But, like, I've got a lot of people that retired, and they've been taking $45,000 a year out of their annuities. And they've still got them. And they haven't run out of money yet. So, you know, it's making enough interest to keep them going.
Wow.
So a lot of people say, you know, I'm going to retire. I don't want to be in the stock market when I retire. So put me in some annuities that I know are safe, and then I'll just draw down on my annuities. I've got one gentleman 10 years ago. He took $1 million and gave me and said, Faye, I want it in an annuity. He's still drawing $60,000 a year out.
Wow.
Cool. And he hadn't run out of money yet. And it's made enough interest all these years to keep it going.
Wow. That's significant. That's a big deal.
It was a big deal. I remember when he did it just like yesterday. He came over to the office in Midland. I met with him one night. He was with a big oil company. He said, I'm fixing to retire. And I said, okay, how much would you like to put in? He said $1 million, just like that. And we did it. And, you know, I don't think he's ever looked back.
How long ago was that? When did he set it up?
It's been over 10 years now.
Jeez, wow.
And the funny thing is, he didn't want to take $60,000 a year out. His wife and I talked to him about it and said, you know, you've got $1 million here. You can take $65,000 a year. You know, he didn't want to do it. He wanted to take less. And we're telling him, no, you know, you can take $65,000 out with your interest. It'll keep you going long past, you know, when you're alive. He's still getting interest. So, you know, an annuity with its interest can last for a long time. And, you know, and I talk about the people in Amarillo every once in a while. This lady put $10,000 in each one of her grandchildren's accounts with us and for school. And the other day, the mother of one of the girls called me. She didn't understand it. And she said, well, my daughter's gotten married. I'm handling it for her. And she couldn't understand. And I said, well, let me look it up. And she's taken $1,000 a year. And, you know, it's still got $5,000 in it. And I looked to see, and it has made $5,000
really?
On a $10,000 investment. That's not bad.
That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. And the mother wants to know why she's having to pay tax.
Yeah.
I said, because it's making money. Every time you take it out, you got to pay tax on it because you're taking the profit now. you know? Oh, my gosh. But a good annuity is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
You just have to be sure and get the right one. You know, you want one that's a fixed index or fixed. You don't want a variable annuity. You may want one. If that's what you want, go ahead. But I wouldn't recommend one because it can go down so bad. And it tells you right on it, this is invested in mutual funds. Well, you know, mutual funds go up and they go down. And I think it's just a risky proposition. In variable annuities, it says right on it, you know, you are in the stock market. You're into mutual funds. So you are direct in. It's not like ours, which is just on the sidelines.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, yeah, it is interesting. It makes a difference. But talking about life settlements, we've had two policies that hit the bank this week. One was McConnell, which was that $4 million one. And then the other one hit the bank, that last Pincus policy. We finally got it from New Jersey.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, we finally got it. I mean, it's just one of those things. So, anyway, that's $5 million that's went in their accounts this week.
Nice. That's a big week.
It is. It was a big week. They've got a lot of money in their account. People can go into a lot of policies and make money just like they have.
Nice.
So, I've got several policies I'm going to be sending out this next week. Looks to me like... you know, they're going to be great.
Cool. So there's a lot of bidding. There's a lot of things that are going on. That people are getting paid. A lot of things are happening in the life settlement realm.
Yes, I've got a $5 million one out that we're bidding hard on. I don't know if we'll get it. There's a lot of people bidding on it because it's a great policy. We've got a small one, like $250,000. I think we've got two for $600,000 that we're bidding, and we don't know yet which ones we're going to get.
Nice. Well, it sounds like there's some good stuff on the horizon, hopefully.
That's right. A lot of good things are happening. You know, not only are we getting paid on all these policies, we've been in some great policies in the last 3 weeks. I think we went into $5 million worth of policies.
Good Lord. It's just been an incredible start to 2023. It's, you know, between the policies and, oh, wow.
It's just not like last year at all. Last year was a bad start. We couldn't get the policies, all this stuff, and now they're just falling in our lap. We've had more maturities than we've ever had. And the maturities just keep coming. So, and we've got some more, and I can't remember the name of the two. I've got two more that haven't hit the bank. So, but they're not big like those others we've just talked about.
Yeah. Boy, that's a relief to get that. The pink is finally wrapped up. Golly.
It is. Because, all the other pinks just came in on time. We didn't have any trouble. Got it in, got them paid. This last one was like pulling teeth, you know, just to get it.
Jeez.
But when anything is in New Jersey, it's like I always say, it's just a problem, folks.
Wow.
They just don't treat us like they should.
It's rare that we go a show without bringing up something about New Jersey.
I know it. We just can't help it.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's about strawberries.
Oh, delicious.
I know. I'm going to tell you a story. This family... had a leap of faith, let me tell you. They had traveled all these years to Tennessee and different places, and they would stop in at these places that grew strawberries and had a bakery and had, you know, preserves and all this. And this guy fell in love with all this. So I don't know if he talked to his wife about it a lot or not, but they live in Argyle, Texas, right here by me. And I never heard of them and didn't know the story till this week. And so this guy got to thinking about these strawberry fields, and he said, you know, I think I'm going to get me some land and plant some strawberries. His name is Tim Sutton. And this is 2 years ago. I mean, this just happened 2 years ago. And his kids are grown. He's got two boys, and they're both married. And so he said, I'm going to go out here, get me some land, and I'm going to get me some strawberries. Well, he talked to the wholesaler on strawberries, and the guy said, well, sir, have you ever done this? No. He said, do you know anything about planting strawberries? No. He said, okay. He said, I believe I'd start real small, maybe with 5,000. And the guy laughed at him. So Sutton laughs. He said, oh, no, no. I need 30,000 strawberry plants.
Wow.
And the guy says, do you have water, electricity, tractors? No, I don't even have the land yet. He said, but you're going to buy the strawberries? Yep. He said, I've got to, or I can't get them in season. The man said, well, are you sure? Yeah. Sell me 30,000. He did. So then he goes out here to Ponder, right here by us, and he talks to a guy that had some land for sale. And the guy said, well, it'll take us a little while to close. And he said, sir, I can't wait to close on the land. I've got to get these strawberries in the ground. The guy said, well, okay. I'll let you plant them before we even close on the land.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Now, you talk about a leap of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't even own the land yet. If anything had went wrong, he wasn't even going to have his strawberry plants. So then he has to get a tractor, has to get all the farming equipment. He buys all this, finally closes on the land. And so he's out there. He gets them all planted and does all this. And he said he got funny looks. People thought he was crazy and said, you know, do you know what you're doing? No. He said, I'm going to learn as I go along.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine this?
Oh, jeez.
So he got them planted. He brought them in spite of the ice we had last year, the March freeze we had, the hailstorms. All this happened. And the strawberries came up and were ready for harvest. So he advertised, pick your own. Just come pick these strawberries. Well, people did. And he made a profit in 2 months last year, April and May. And he named it Goober Bubs. And a part of it was his grandfather's name was Goober. And then her father, Bub. So it's Goober Bubs. And people came. They picked strawberries and all these different things. And he made a profit. Now, this
wow.
is the guy. You talk about a leap of faith. Knew nothing about planting anything. Planted all these strawberries. They weathered the storm. They've weathered everything. And he's just planted his second crop. He advertised in the paper this week, our little bitty paper, you know, that it was going to be open on Saturdays and maybe a couple of days a week for you to pick your strawberries. Can you imagine this story?
Wow. This is a terrible business plan, but it's working out. This is great.
It was like no business plan. How many people would buy 30,000 strawberry plants when they didn't even own the land? I mean, this takes you talk about a leap of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine anybody doing this.
Wow.
Most people would have had a business plan, you know, a 2-year, 5-year plan. They'd have very carefully, you know, got their land. They'd have bought their equipment. They'd have figured their cost and, you know, what they could make with strawberries. He didn't do any of that.
He just decided.
30,000 plants and didn't even have a tractor.
Wow.
Didn't even own a tractor.
No land, no
tractor.
It's
the best
guy
I've ever heard of.
Wow.
And then they put in a little bakery.
Oh.
And, yeah, they put in a little bakery, and they're selling preserves and things like this. And now he's going to enlarge that.
Oh, my goodness.
In a two-year period.
Wow.
And Justin is a small, small town. You know, it's probably got 500 people, maybe 1,000, I doubt it. But anyway, it's out in Justin. People are coming, and I don't even know how they're finding out about the place enough to make a living.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know what the profit margin is with strawberries, but I can't imagine that it's. I can't. None of this makes any sense on a spreadsheet.
No, on a spreadsheet, nobody would ever offer him money for this. I just don't understand. I don't know what profit is per strawberry, but 30,000 plants.
Wow.
I believe that'd be a lot of strawberries. And what if nobody had come to pick them?
Oh, I know it. It's and then,
I mean,
what about all the weather that could have ruined the whole crop?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he went through all that, and it didn't even tear them up. You know, they had the freeze in March. We had hailstorms. Then we had the hot summer temperatures, and none of that fazed him.
Wow.
Yeah. I just don't know how he managed. And his two sons and their wives helped him get all this done.
And he only got the wild hair like 2 years ago to do this, right?
2 years ago, this guy just woke up and said, you know, I think I'm going to become a strawberry farmer.
Wow.
And now conventional wisdom says you should have had electricity and running water. And he had to borrow that from the owner of the land. There was no water. There was no electricity.
Wow. And the fact that he let him go ahead and plant before they closed, that never happens.
That doesn't happen.
Wow.
I mean, this is a sophisticated world. Most people would have said, no way. Not until you pay for this. You can't touch this. Not only did he let him do it, he said, okay, I'll let you have water and electricity.
Wow.
And the wholesaler said, people do not order that many. A first-timer would never do that.
They would start small and kind of build up, kind of, you know, that way if something goes wrong or miscalculate something or miss a step or, you know, forgot something, then if it goes bad, you're not ruining, you know, 30,000 plants. But he swung for the fences right off the bat. Wow.
Yeah, and I don't know how much money the guy had, but I would think that would be a huge investment for all this, not knowing if it'd work. I mean, a tractor alone.
Yeah.
You know, would cost a lot of money. And, you know, the guy that sold him this had to have a heart of gold. Because, I mean, he was laughing a lot, saying, here I am. I'm going to let the guy plant the strawberries. I'm going to loan him electricity and water. What am I doing? You know, what in the world have I done?
Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense. It's so weird.
And they asked him why he didn't start smaller. He said, I wouldn't have had enough. I couldn't have made a profit, he said. And he said, I couldn't wait a year to do anything with the land.
Wow. Oh, my.
He just said, you know, he had to get that crop in if he was going to make it work. I just, you know, and I didn't even know that strawberries would grow in our soil here.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, this is a guy who knew nothing about what he's doing. I don't think he even knew if the soil was good for strawberries. You know?
And now they're making preserves and they're expanding the bakery and all this is.
Yeah, this, in 2 years. And he said, this is something I really like to do.
Wow.
I wonder what he did in life before he started on the strawberries. I need to call him and ask him.
Yeah, you need to.
Sir, what in the world? Yeah, I want to know what he did in life that he would just suddenly say, I'm going to start a strawberry farm.
And he did all this himself. He didn't have, like, investors or financial backing?
No, he has no investors.
Oh.
Just him, his wife, and the two boys.
Wow.
And, yeah, and he's making money. I mean, he's already enlarging. How about that? What do you think? I mean, he could start a strawberry patch make a profit from year one.
Wow. It takes at least 5 years to start seeing profits, really, with just about anything. It's highly illogical, the whole thing.
It's illogical, and yet it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know of anybody that would sell you the land and let you use it before you own it.
No. No, that nobody does. And he literally just woke up one day and decided he was going to be a strawberry farmer, and he went for it. And his wife didn't ask for a divorce because he's crazy.
That's the strange thing. She should have said, "Wait a minute, this is my money too."
Yeah,
but apparently not.
Oh,
I mean, you know.
Wow.
And they said, you know, first-time strawberry growers, you know, start real small to see if they can make it.
Yeah.
That's what the wholesaler said. You know, he said, because you don't know if it's going to work. He said, no, I have to have 30,000 plants. He figured that part out. He said, I've got to go big because otherwise I won't have enough, he said. He said, I just couldn't wait a year to do anything with the land.
I get what he said. I mean, that part makes a little sense. It's like you buy the land and then you sit there and do nothing for a year. So he's got to hurry. But how it all, I don't understand. I don't know that I would recommend this to most people, but it's fantastic that this has worked out for him and that he's already expanding.
Most people would have went broke that first year
trying
to figure it out. And I don't know how in the heck he figured out, you know, a strawberry fields. That's the last thing I would think a person would start when you didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, and just the fact that they overcame all of the obstacles, not only between the land and the equipment that it takes, the guy letting them plant ahead of time, the weather. Somebody is being looked after by somebody much
That's
higher
right.
than people.
That's right. Somebody a lot higher than us on that leap of faith took care of him. That's what happened.
Wow. And so now there's something.
This old boy. Nobody, I wouldn't recommend it for most people.
Yeah.
I mean, and there isn't most people going to let you use their land and their water and electricity.
Jeez.
You know? I mean, I just think it's a heck of a story. And the guy made it work. And I guess he's laughing now that he was able to make this crop grow. And now he's on his second year. And going to enlarge the bakery.
Jeez. And they have their own recipe, I guess, for making preserves, and I'm sure they're selling that like crazy, too.
Yes, and he says when he runs out of strawberries, he just closes, you know?
That's it. We're done. Wow.
Yeah, when we run out, we run out, and that's the way it is.
Have you
and
been
they,
up there
they
to
sell
pick
it by the pound.
Oh, wow.
And you pick them and take them home.
Have you been out there yet to pick any?
I'm going next week, and I'm going to take the children out.
You know,
I want them to pick some strawberries. We got to do it.
We want to know how these are.
I will tell you how it worked out.
Yeah.
Picking strawberries and meeting these people, I'm going to find out the whole story.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Jeez.
Yes.
How incredible. That is a fantastic story. That's got to be one of the all-time. That's probably in the top five inspirational stories ever that you've ever told.
I thought it was the greatest story I'd seen. And several people asked me this week, said, Faye, what are you going to talk about this week? I said, strawberries.
And they're scratching their heads thinking, you're as crazy as the guy that grew the strawberries.
That's right. They figure Faye is over the hill. I mean, she's going to talk about strawberries. But it was just the greatest story I'd found.
And what's the place called? It's Bub.
Goober Bubs.
Goober Bubs.
Goober Bubs.
Wow.
G-O-O-B-E-R. Goober.
Goober Bubs.
Goober Bubs.
I'm writing this down now. Goober Bubs. Wow. What a great story. I've never heard of anything like that before in my life. That is fantastic.
I haven't either.
Wow.
And I can't wait to go out and meet them and see the strawberry patch. And my grandchildren have never seen a strawberry patch. And pick strawberries and get some preserves and things and hear their story.
Yeah.
So then next week I'll be able to tell you what I know.
Yeah,
we definitely. I'm really looking forward to the follow-up to see how these things are. I wonder if they're like big or if they're average size or I really want to know how the preserves are too. Boy, I just love strawberry preserves.
Yeah, I'll get some of everything, whatever they've got.
Wow. Oh, my. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
It wouldn't surprise me at this point if he started having like preserves, but started making other things, you know, like some kind of a strawberry syrup or some kind of a strawberry beverage for the summertime or some kind of, you know, I don't even know. I don't even know what you could make with strawberries, but I'm sure he's probably going to expand into all kinds of other things where they take, you know, the strawberries that people don't pick and make really great stuff. So, ugh.
And can you imagine, he got the idea from them being on vacation and stopping at this little place in Tennessee.
Is that where he
got
the idea?
That's where he got the idea. Yeah. He just saw it and he liked it. He didn't know how it worked, but he comes home and says, I'm going to become a strawberry farmer.
Wow.
And I don't know how he even knew how to find the wholesalers that sell the plants, but he did. And I'll bet that guy's still shaking his head.
Yeah.
30,000 plants for a novice. Somebody knows nothing about what he's doing.
Wow. I tell you, if I woke up tomorrow and said, hey, I think I'm going to be an astronaut, I would be in court so
That's
fast.
Right. They would take you away.
Yeah, they would. Wow. Okay, so I know we were talking about annuities earlier. Are there any kind of qualifications or restrictions or anything like that with annuities, things people need to know?
Well, annuities are not as restrictive as life settlements. But you do have to have a certain amount. They want to make sure you've got assets at home, that this can't be your only asset. If you say, Faye, this is all I've got in the world, you cannot put it in. You've got to have money in the bank for emergencies. They've got to see that. You can't draw on the annuity for a year, so you've got to have cash at home. So that's your big thing. I don't know if it's $10,000 at home, $25,000, you know, but we have to add up your expenses and make sure you have a comfort zone, okay?
Right.
And that's the only restriction. Is you must qualify that way.
Okay. It seems a little bit less restrictive, less maybe rigid than life settlements. It's
a lot less rigid than a life settlement. You don't have to be accredited. You don't have to make $200,000 a year or be worth $1 million without your house, which you do to qualify for a life settlement. Life settlements, you must have $100,000. We usually ask for $100,000 on this. We don't want someone to come in, put $50,000 in, and need it next week.
Yeah.
So, you know, people that have at least $100,000 have got other money. So we're comfortable with that.
Okay. What type of person generally is interested in annuities versus life settlements? Or is there? Or is that line kind of starting to blur and people are kind of like getting into like both?
A lot of people have both. But, yes, usually annuity people are completely different than life settlement people.
Okay.
And also, a lot of times they can't qualify for a life settlement account, so we'll put them in annuities until they can qualify or just leave them in annuities completely if they're happy with them.
All right. Either way, whatever people do, whether it's life settlements or annuities, they're both completely not engaged in the stock market. They are not affected by anything else that happens in the world. If, you know, something else, I don't know, if we have another pandemic or if we have another bank collapse or if we have, you know, anything that happens, they will survive all of these because they are their own entities. They're in their own little ecosystem, their own bubble, right?
That's exactly right. They're completely different than anything else. They're not subject to the stock market. They're not subject to wars. they're not subject to all the bad stuff going in the world.
With life settlements, it sometimes depends. When you have a new investor come over and they want to get into life settlements, it usually depends on, you know, what's available and things like that. With an annuity, is there anything like that? Or you just, they come over and they're in and
that's right. They are available. It's not like a life settlement. Sometimes we say it'll be a couple of weeks before I can put you in something, or I may have something right then. You know, it depends. Like, you know, we just did that $5 million worth, and we're fixing to do another five or six. So most of the time we have an availability of life settlements. And if you are bringing money over in cash, we can put you in right away. Sometimes we have to wait on transfers if it's from the stock market.
Okay. All right. But then people could get into annuities pretty much right off the bat, right? Right away.
That's right. Okay. Yes, we can put them in. So they start making money immediately.
Cool. And everything is back to, it's business as usual this coming week. I assume you have availability for people to call, come in, make an appointment, talk to you.
Yes, we'll be talking to people. We'll be writing contracts for annuities, for life settlements. I want to get a lot of people in these new policies because there's some great policies with very low premiums.
Cool. And the for annuities, people should know that bonus is still going on right now. So if people are still interested, they can come talk to you this week. That has not run out yet, right?
That's right. And they can call me on the phone and talk to me about it. Lots of times people talk to me on the phone, then make an appointment. This is the way the other two or three people did. They called me. We discussed it. They knew how it worked. They came in and we did it.
Cool. All right, then. One last time for people to call, make an appointment, come talk to you, get some more information, get started. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.